Trainer Todd Pletcher back in the Kentucky Derby yet again. He'll saddle four horses on Saturday. Two-time Kentucky Derby winner, Todd Pletcher. Todd, when you hear those words, what comes to mind?
I like the sound of that. You know, it took us a while to get that first one, and, you know, we felt very grateful for that. And then just seemed like another one would really validate that. And so it was, you know, they were both very, very special for different reasons, but very, very thankful that and grateful that, you know, we were able to do that.
For people that have never had the opportunity to be part of something like this, describe the feeling of watching your horse cross the finish line first in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to describe because, you know, it's just there's so many emotions going through your mind at that time. And when you win a big race like that, and you just, you know, you're just, and especially like a furlong out, a 16th out, you know, you can't wait for the finish line to get there. And, you know, I've said, like, to me, one of the most special things about winning the Derby twice now is that, you know, getting to share it with your family, especially your parents. And both of my parents are 80 now, you know, to see the enjoyment and the excitement, you know, and the emotions that they have is part of what makes it really, really fun and special.
Any different last year than when Super Saver won?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was more, you know, Super Saver was a bit of relief. And, you know, I think we were 0 for 24 at that time or whatever it was. So, you know, that was sort of the only thing that everyone talked about when we brought horses to the Derby. So to get that one out of the way, it felt like, you know, okay, the pressure's off and now, you know, kind of everything from there is a bonus. And, you know, so we felt really good about the way Always Dreaming was coming into the Derby last year. I think, you know, it was the first time we'd actually started a post-time favorite. And so we felt like we had a really good chance, you know, and so you don't want to let those opportunities get away. So it was a little bit of a different feel than the other ones.
Is there a certain place you like to watch those races, maybe a lucky spot?
Well, I thought I had a lucky TV with Super Saver, but it didn't work out the next year, so I've switched it up. But now, I mean, it's actually a really difficult race to watch, you know, period. And when you have more than one horse in it, to kind of trying to follow everyone. So last year I watched it on the big screen in the paddock, and so I think that's probably what I'll do again this year.
This will be the sixth time that you saddled four or more horses in the Kentucky Derby. The only time that's resulted in a win is with Super Saver. Does that speak to how difficult it really is to win this race?
Yeah, I mean, I've said before that, you know, that it's just because you bring numbers doesn't ensure victory. You know, it's one horse is going to win, and you know, you got to have the right one on that day. And, you know, like I've said, Bluegrass Cat, for example, I mean, he ran as well as he could possibly run. Unfortunately for him, he just landed on the same year as Barbaro. And, you know, I don't think anyone was going to beat Barbaro that day. So a lot of it's about, you know, which crop each horse falls in. And some of these derbies are going to be tougher than others. And, you know, we're fortunate to have had a lot of starters, but we're 0 for 5 in the two that we won, you know. So it's, you know, when you bring volume, it kind of puts your stats out of whack a little bit. But at the same time, we've been very fortunate. A lot of these horses that we have brought here have gone on to successful careers afterwards, and a number of them have gone on to be very successful stallions, and that's something we're very proud of.
This is a race that poses so many demands throughout the week, a lot of time obligations, things that you have to do as a trainer that you wouldn't normally do for your average everyday grade one race. Now you come here with four horses, it's magnified even more. How does Todd Pletcher kind of get away from it all a little bit and keep it all together throughout the week?
Well, I haven't been able to identify the way to get away from it, because it's, you know, it's here, and you don't want to miss anything. You don't want to leave any stone unturned. So, you know, when you want to make sure that everything's going smoothly in their daily routine and their gallops and their gate schooling, their paddock schooling, and you know, also want to not lose sight of the fact that we have, you know, a stable to run as well. So I want to stay in contact and communication with my assistants, you know, back home, and you know, we still got a lot of other horses that we're responsible for, and a lot of clients that we're, you know, we owe that to make sure that we're covering all the bases, not only on our Derby horses, but the entire stable.
Put me in your shoes on Derby day. Take me through the day and then leading up to the race. How does it all work?
Well, it's actually, I mean, Oaks and Derby Day are a little bit unusual in that you have really early post and then a really late post. So, you know, it's a long day. I actually prefer to have some other action, some undercard races to kind of, you know, I think the first time we came to the Derby, we had the four horses in the Derby, and that was it. So you just kind of stew on it all day, you know, and it just – so I'd rather keep busy and have some other stuff going on and run in some other races. And, you know, there's some important races too. So that kind of keeps you occupied and keeps you busy, so you're not just worrying about the big race all day.
When you make that walkover, you have to determine, I guess, which – ownership group you're going to walk with, which horse you're going to walk with. How does that all take place?
You know, it's funny. I haven't sensed that anyone's really too worried about that from an ownership group. And as you know, the walkover now has become borderline out of control. There's just so many people there that you can't hardly keep up with one horse. So I think, you know, at that point, what we're really focused on is we just want the horses to quietly walk over there and you know, it can be an intimidating scene for people and horses when you're just not accustomed to walking in front of a crowd like you're going to see there. And my biggest concern is just hoping that the horses stay relaxed and get to the paddock safely. And you don't want anything to go wrong at the last minute.
Some people will say it's difficult just watching one horse in a 20-horse field. How do you keep an eye on all four?
You honestly can't. You know, you just kind of pick your spots, and you know, I mean, I'll have a fairly good idea of where I think everyone's going to be positioned going into the first turn, and so that'll help. But you know, it's a lot to keep up with each one, and so, you know, I'll do the best I can to identify where they are, and hopefully it becomes a little more clear when they turn for home and they're all in good position. Hopefully.
Give me one word to describe each of your horses. Audible.
You know, I love his adaptability. You know, the way he ran in the Holy Bull, and he kind of attended to, you know, soft fractions and kicked, and then in the Florida Derby when the fractions were way too fast, he was able to drop way back. So I think, you know, him being able to adapt to two different pace scenarios should bode well for him, you know, in a race like this. And I also think he's pretty agile, which is going to help Javier be able to, you know, make some moves in critical places. And you know, to have a horse that you can ask to make a couple of different moves during the course of a race, especially when you're trying to get position you want, I think is a big asset.
Vino Rosso.
He's relentless. The one thing that we felt very strongly about with Vino Rosso is the mile and a quarter is what he's wanting. And you know, his pedigree certainly says that. And I think, you know, he showed that in the wood, which was his first chance to go a mile and an eighth. And so we've been looking forward to getting him stretched out, and you know, hopefully he continues to develop that way.
Magna Moon,
athletic, you know, and has tactical speed. Also, can set off of it. I think you know, he's come a long way in a short period of time, and a lot of that's just based on, you know, his athleticism and raw ability. But you know, I think that the 16 post is actually good for him. It should get him into the race where he can kind of get into that stalking position that I think he'd prefer more so than being on the lead like he was in the Arkansas Derby.
And Noble Indy.
I would say he's quirky. And you know, that's one of the things that worries me on race day with him is of the group, he's the one that we've had to spend the most time paddock schooling, the most time gate schooling. And I'm really pleased with the way he's been handling it. I just hope he can, you know, he can continue that, you know, on the big day. If he does, I think he'll kind of exceed expectations.
Finish this sentence for me. To win a third Kentucky Derby would be
awesome, I guess. You know, I just you know, like it to me, just with the group of owners that we have represented here, you know, and Mike Rapoli, you know, it would mean so much to him and his family, and Robert Lawana Lowe, and you know, and their families. And you know, you can just see the excitement on their faces to be here, and to, you know, to be here with horses that are doing well and have a legitimate chance is you know, it's great to see. So you know, sometimes for me, it's you know, them enjoying the moment, it means as much to me as me winning the race.
Your first Derby was in 2000, and you started four horses that day. How much different is Todd Pletcher now as a trainer than on that day in 2000?
That's a great question, and I think a difficult one to answer. You know, I mean, actually looking back, I look back at all the derbies recently, and you know, we had two horses run great races that day. More Than Ready actually made the lead and at the top of the stretch, and you know, I think ran as well as he could possibly run. He just didn't really want a mile and a quarter, and Impeachment came running late for third, and you know, so I think for our first derby, it was a pretty good result. But you know, I think the one thing that people I'm not sure fully understand about the Derby is, just because you as a trainer have come here year after year, you obviously gained some experience that way, but every year is a new horse. And so, you know, what may have worked for More Than Ready in 2000 might have nothing to do with what would work for Vino Rosso in 2018. So, you know, I think you can learn some of the do's and don'ts you know, kind of learn the schedule a little bit and things like that, and when to paddock school and when to gate school and when not to, and you know, some simple things like that. But as far as, you know, each year you're bringing a new player, which, you know, is a different athlete and with different needs altogether. So, you know, I think me personally, you know, I don't know that I'm a lot different. I do think that you know, I've learned some of the idiosyncrasies of the Derby, but like I said, I think you have to keep an open mind and train each horse, you know, according to what you think they need, as opposed to what, you know, happened to work for someone else or another horse or another trainer and those types of things.
What are some of those idiosyncrasies that you mentioned?
Well, one of the things that changed since we first came here is the you know, the Derby training hours, which have been very beneficial. I think, you know, it makes it more convenient for us. And for example, I was talking to Bill Mott earlier. One of the great things about it is that you get to go to the gate, stand at the gate. You know, we used to be just part of the normal routine, and so you might go take your horse back to stand at the gate for the Derby and might find yourself in a line of 15 or 16 horses that are, you know, babies galloping out and, you know, first timers and all these other things. And so, you know, that's been one positive change, and just, you know, making sure that, you know, the paddock schooling and all that, kind of the optimal times to do that. You know, I think you kind of have to remind yourself that this is just, you know, it is a horse race. It's happens to be the most important one in the United States anyways, but, you know, don't deviate from what normally works for you and try to maintain that routine and that schedule.
Does Todd Pletcher still get some anxious moments when the horses are loading into the gate?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I especially when things are kind of out of your control, you know, like when you're once you put the rider up, it's over, your preparation is over, and it's all out of your hands at that point.
Good luck.
Thank you.